Each week as we've been walking through this series, we've taken a clip from a popular Christmas movie and then talked about that. And this morning I thought, what better clip to use than The Grinch? Of course, right? Christmas Eve, we'll use The Grinch. Some of you might even look like The Grinch today if you had a good experience at home on the way in. Anyway, I have this clip I want to share with you this morning as we get started. But if you're at home watching a live stream because you were too lazy to come to church, throwing down the smack, sorry. You're not going to get to see this clip because copyright won't allow us. But for the rest of you, since you're here, when the computer reboots, we're going to try to show this clip in just a second. It's Christmas Eve. Of course, there's technical issues. That computer worked fine until this morning at like 9:55, and then it quit. Go figure. I'm going to give it just a second so I can show you the clip, and if it doesn't work, then I'll tell you what's in the clip. I'm not a very good Grinch, but hey. Oh, yeah, I heard Melanie Smokey had a birthday. Awesome. Happy birthday and Christmas Eve. Hey, I'm seeing a chance. Here we go. Check this out.
Cleaned out that icebox as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch, he even took their last can of Who Hash. Then he stuffed all the food up the chimney with glee.
And now,
grinned the Grinch.
I stuff up the tree.
And the Grinch grabbed the tree, and he started to shove, when he heard a small sound like the coo of a dove.
Excuse me.
Grinch had been caught by this tiny Who daughter who'd got out of bed for a cup of cold water.
Santa Claus, what are you doing with our tree?
But you know, that old Grinch was so smart and so slick. He thought up a lie, and he thought it up quick.
Why, my sweet little dot.
The fake Santa Claus lied.
There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there, and I'll bring it back here.
Santa, what's Christmas really about?
Vengeance!
I mean,
presents, I suppose.
I was afraid of that.
And his fib fooled the child. Then he patted her head, and he got her a drink, and he sent her to bed.
Santa?
What?
Don't forget the Grinch. I know he's mean and hairy and smelly. His hands might be cold and clammy. But I think he's actually kind of sweet.
Sweet? You don't think he's sweet?
Merry Christmas, Santa.
When Cindy Lou went up with her cup.
Nice kid.
Bad judge of character.
So, today's Christmas Eve, and it's a day that most of us spend with family and friends, and often we celebrate some very long-standing traditions. In fact, many of you will tear into a gift or two later this morning or sometime tomorrow, and you're just kind of waiting with anticipation. Some of you might have even come in this morning just a little bit disappointed because we did a regular 10 a.m. Christmas Eve service today instead of our normal afternoon Christmas Eve service. We broke the tradition. We've always done it that way, right? But what if our picture of Christmas is just a little askew? What if we've lost touch with what Christmas is really about? Or at least we've forgotten some of the realities of Christmas that really should be what guides our worship today. See, if you were here last week, Jamie tried to ruin a popular Christmas carol for you by challenging whether or not we interpreted Scripture correctly. So Jamie, I see your challenge and I raise you an entire Christmas experience. I'm going to ruin your whole idea of what Christmas is today. Aren't you glad you came? See, as I watched that clip from The Grinch, there's two things that stand out to me that I hope you saw too. And the first is when Cindy Lou asks, what is the meaning of Christmas? And of course, the Grinch pops through the tree, vengeance! But then he says, or presents. And did you see the look on her face? It was that disappointment to go, oh, that's really what it's all about, is presents? Because see, Cindy Lou was the only who that seemed to think there must be something more to Christmas. Everybody was running around. They were all about the gifts that they were getting and giving and what was going to happen on that special day. And Cindy Lou's like, there has to be something more to Christmas. This has to be more meaningful, more purposeful. But then the second part that stands out to me, and it's the main reason I chose that clip this morning, is how Cindy Lou responds to Santa, actually the Grinch, about the Grinch. And did you catch that? She says, Santa, please don't forget the Grinch. And then she goes on to describe all of the detestable, or maybe you could say the unlovable things about the Grinch. She sees through all of that ugliness that's on the outside of him, and she chooses to love him anyway. And in the whole movie, Cindy Lou's the only one who actually seems to care about the Grinch and to love him in spite of all the things that everybody else sees. She chooses to love the unlovable Grinch. She cares about him when nobody else does. She pursues him. She offers friendship. She offers love when everybody else is repulsed by his appearance, when they're repulsed by his attitude, when they're repulsed by the way that he lives and the things that he does and everything about him. But see, what if her love for the Grinch actually reflects more about Christmas than any of our traditions and celebrations? What if we've just got it all wrong? From his Christmas Daily devotional called Come Let Us Adore Him, Paul David Tripp puts it like this, and if you happen to pick up the book, this is an excerpt I'm reading from December 16th, the devotional that he has in there, and it's based around Isaiah 53. It says, in truth, that beautifully decorated tree, those gorgeously wrapped presents, and all that tasty holiday food which make us happy during the Christmas season are poor representations of the world into which Jesus was born and what his everyday life would be like. Jesus didn't show up for a celebration. He wasn't here for a vacation. His world wasn't well decorated, and he surely wasn't well fed. He came to a world that had been dramatically broken by sin, and his calling was to expose himself to the full range of its brokenness. And this is where the details of Christ's birth are important. It means something profoundly important that the cradle of his birth was a feeding trough in a borrowed barn. You are meant to pay attention to the fact that he wasn't in a palace attended by servants. It's important to notice that the first smells that entered his infant nostrils weren't oils or perfumes, but animal smells. These seemingly unimportant details set up a sharp contrast between our celebrations at Christmas and the true conditions of the Messiah's entry into our world. Most of us would be in a complete panic if we had to birth a baby in such conditions. But none of this was an accident. These conditions were God's plan. They announced to us that the Messiah came not to be served, but rather to serve. Matthew 20:28. Since he came to rescue sufferers, it was essential that he suffered too. And his suffering wasn't reserved for the cross. It started the moment he was born. Everything he suffered was on our behalf. He would suffer, but not lose his way. He would suffer, but not quit and walk away. He would suffer and not grow bitter and angry. He would suffer and not respond with vengeance. He would suffer without thinking, desiring, saying, or doing even one wrong thing. He exposed himself to our world to live as we could not live, so that as the righteous one, he could pay the penalty for our sin and give us not only peace with God, but a ticket to a future where suffering would be no more. Don't let shiny ornaments and bright lights keep you from seeing the dark, sad drama of the life of that baby in that borrowed barn. Jesus experienced not one moment of ease in his life. Read the passage from Isaiah 53 again and let it sink in. Jesus wasn't good looking in the way that would make him naturally attractive and popular. People regularly despised and rejected him. He was alienated from the very people he came to love and to rescue. His life was marked by sorrows and griefs of every kind. He willingly walked to his torture. He hung on that cross, body bruised, beaten, pierced, and broken. He did not look for escape. He did not selfishly use his power. He did not mock his mockers. He didn't do any of these things because he understood the suffering was what he came to do, and he was willing. Jesus suffered because he did not demand what was right. He endured what was wrong so that we may be right with God. The manger of his birth is a clue to what he came to do and what every day of his life would be like. The way God chose to rescue sufferers was by becoming a sufferer himself. Every moment of his suffering was done with us in view. Every dark moment of physical, relational, societal, and judicial suffering had a high and holy purpose to it, our salvation. You see, Jesus came to suffer because he came to be our Savior. Jesus made himself like us in every single way except sin. And I'd never thought about it this way before, but as I read that passage in Isaiah 53 that he's talking about this past week, I saw something very different. Listen to this prophecy about Jesus' arrival and time here on earth from The Message as a paraphrase in today's language. Isaiah 53, verses 2 through 6. It says, "The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum, but the fact is it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures, but it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him." See, as I read that, I have this sudden realization that you might even go as far as to say that when Jesus came to earth to live among us, he made himself seemingly unlovable by the world's standards. Maybe so that we could better understand his love for us and then our call to love others. Because the harsh reality is that every one of us is unlovable in some way. We're all broken. We all have those ugly places in our hearts and the way we live and the choices that we make. But God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to live among us in our unlovable state to show us the true definition of love in action. Jesus chose to make himself like us and to love us exactly where we are and then to die for us in the perfect demonstration of his love. But then he asked us to live like him, to give up our rights the same way he did, to love extravagantly the way that he loved us, and to die to self so that we could love and serve others the same way he loved and served us. In Philippians 2, Paul reminds us that Jesus gave up every single one of his heavenly rights, all of his powers, all the things that belonged to him, all the things that he deserved, he gave it all up to live as a servant among us. And then he served us all the way to the point of the cross where he suffered and gave his life so that we could walk in his love and experience eternal life with God. So as we celebrate Christmas this year, I would encourage you and challenge you, take a moment to reflect on Christ's love for you while you were still unlovable, while you were still in your sin. Paul says it this way, Romans 5:8, and this is from the New Living Translation, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." He didn't wait for you and me to clean up our lives. He didn't wait for us to live better. He didn't wait for us to honor him or show any kind of appreciation. He came to show his love for us while we were no better than the Grinch from the movie. We were unlovable. We were ugly inside and outside. And in return, the only thing he asks of us is that we love like him. See, not only are we called to love God with all of our hearts, but we're commanded to love other people the same way he did, even those that we see as unlovable. So I wonder if you're following Christ and you've experienced that love that I'm talking about, if you've experienced how he loves you, who is it in your life that you think of as unlovable? And how is God asking you to show love to that person today? See, maybe it's somebody in your family that you'll see later today or tomorrow or sometime during this season. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. Might even be a former friend, somebody that you've walked away from relationship with. I want to challenge you this morning to take a moment to recognize how unlovable you can be, first and foremost. Recognize those things in yourself. And then choose to love that person the way Christ chose to love you. In spite of your flaws, in spite of your brokenness, in spite of whatever it is that makes you unlovable to other people. And if you can't see that kind of brokenness in your own life, then guess what? That is your brokenness. It's pride that gets in the way and blocks you from seeing that within yourself. See, every single one of us stands before God, broken and in need of a Savior. That's exactly why he sent Jesus to die in our place and to give us his righteousness. And that's where we have to start. But if you've already experienced that love, then your calling is to love somebody else the way Christ loved you so that they are drawn to Jesus as well. And this Christmas, I hope you enjoy quality time with your family. I hope you enjoy the time with your friends. I hope you enjoy the different parties and gatherings and dinners and all the things that you go to and all the things you do, all of those traditions. I really do. But much more importantly, I hope you can celebrate the love of Christ in your own life and that you can also reflect that love to other people around you, especially those that you look at and think, they're not really lovable. They're hard for me. I don't want to be around them. I don't like them. See, in just a moment, we're going to receive communion. And that's a powerful reminder of Jesus' amazing love and sacrifice that gave us right standing before God. But before you receive the elements, I want you to take a moment to really reflect on your own life. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, start there. That's the first place you have to start. And it's as simple as asking him to be your Savior and surrendering your life to him. And I would encourage you, if you're doing that this morning, take time to stop by Next Steps back here in the back corner. We would love to talk with you and pray with you and talk to you about what it looks like to take those next steps as you begin that relationship with him. If you're already following Christ, though, I would ask you this morning to allow God to search your heart. Ask him, God, search me. Look within me. Show me the things that are the unlovable qualities within me that maybe I need to confess and surrender to you this morning. And do that before you receive the elements so that your heart is right with him, so that you're in a right place as you come this morning in this time of worship. But I'd also ask you to pray that God reveal someone that he's asking you to love during this Christmas season. Who is that? Even if they seem to be unlovable, who is he asking you to show love to? Be a reflection of Christ this Christmas and allow others to see his love for you. So as the band comes up to lead us in another time of worship, I want to invite you to receive the communion elements when you're ready. And you should have received some prepackaged elements that look like this as you came in the door this morning. If you did not receive those, if you'll just raise your hand, we have some ushers coming around that'll help to pass those out. Just lift your hand, they'll bring them to you. So on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread. And if you notice in your communion elements this morning, one side has the bread in it, the other side has the juice. You'll just open that up and take the bread out. And when you're ready, you can eat that. He took some bread after giving thanks to his Father for it. He broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take this and eat in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and after giving thanks for it, he said, "This is my blood. This is a sign of the new covenant of grace. This is my blood that was spilled for you so that you could be made right with my Father. Walk in right relationship with me." Jesus established this sacrament as a reminder of what he was about to do on the cross as his body was broken and his blood was spilled for you and for me. And in the midst of the hustle and the bustle of this Christmas season, we pause for just a moment this morning to just remember his amazing love for us and our call to love others the way he loved us. And I pray that you allow that to frame your worship this morning as you share in communion today. So don't rush this time. as the band leads us in worship, I want you to take a moment. You don't have to sing at the very beginning of the song. Just take a moment and reflect and spend a little bit of time in prayer and ask God to show you those things in your own heart that you need to surrender to Him, and then receive these elements as an act of worship. See, the truth is, Christmas isn't as pretty as we've made it with all of our cultural traditions. But the love that it reminds us of is more beautiful than we could ever understand or ever describe. Jesus loved us while we were still unlovable. My prayer is that we will go and love others in the same way. Stand with me, if you will, and let's take a moment and pray. And then as you're ready, you can receive the elements as we continue in our worship today. God, thank you for loving us. Even while we were still in our sin, while we were unlovable, as we would see it. God, thank you for giving your life for us, for coming and living among us to model what that love looks like. God, thank you that you came like us in a state that from a human perspective was imperfect on the outside, but yet you were so perfect in your love and your sacrifice and every godly quality that you brought to earth as you came and lived among us. God, help us to recognize our need for you. Help us to recognize our own brokenness. And help us also to recognize the amazing call that you've placed on our lives, that as we celebrate this Christmas season, that we wouldn't make it just about gifts or about celebrations or about dinners or any of those other things, but God, we would make it a time that we truly reflect your amazing love. Help us to be those reflectors of you throughout this season. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.